6:33 a.m. We are delighted to welcome back to our microphones in studio our very good friend, former professor at Vanderbilt University, former candidate for mayor, now senior fellow for constitutional studies at the Texas Public Policy Institute Foundation, and now many other great things you see are all over the place on Fox News and in a lot of other venues, our very good friend, Carol Swain. Good morning, Carol.
Good morning, Michael, and good morning to all of you who got up early to hear Michael.
No, they get up early to hear you, Carol. It's at 6:30. So I want to catch up with you on all the things that you've been doing. I mentioned several, but I didn't capture it all. What has been going on with Carol Swain in the past month or so?
I just returned from North Dakota and was my first time speaking in Bismarck.
Oh, hold on now. We talked about this. So North Dakota, it's a little different in North Dakota than it is in Tennessee. You went to Bismarck, North Dakota.
I did, and I spoke at a theater. And what was interesting was I gave two talks, basically, two acts. Act one was me telling my story, and then we played a movie trailer in between, and then I presented my critical race theory discussion.
So this
was worked very well.
Now, let me just ask, for those of you who've never been to Bismarck, North Dakota, it's a long way from Nashville. And to get there, Bismarck is sort of in the west central southern part of North Dakota. North Dakota's population, 700,000? It's a big, big state.
It's the size of a congressional district.
Yeah, yeah. Big state geographically. But the population center actually is right on the Red River on the border with Minnesota. Fargo, that's where the North Dakota state is. That's where the Great Plains Software got started. But it's not the capital of the state. Fargo is actually a nice little town. But Bismarck, it's a little town, and it's kind of in the middle of nowhere.
Well, I had a great time. I had dinner with the lieutenant governor and some of the individuals running for school board. And, I mean, I loved being there and the spirit of the people. And they are determined, you know, to protect their state and their children from critical race theory and some of these dangerous trends we see taking place across the country.
So my connection to North Dakota is, I've been up there on business 15, 20 years ago. In the winter, it's cold. It's very cold. You went up there. It wasn't that cold, was it?
Well.
It was cold enough.
The forecast said it was going to be 50 degrees.
Yeah.
But when I got there, probably it was 30 or 40 with the wind blowing.
Yeah.
And so my light coat was not as warm as I could have been warmer if I had taken my heavy coat. And then the day I was leaving, it was some snow and some sleet. But I had a wonderful experience. There was a protester at the end of the CRT.
A single protester.
Well, she had two friends, but they were better behaved. And it turned out she had a PhD.
But of course.
Of course. And after, well, they finally got the microphone back from her, and she was escorted out of the room.
So hold on. Tell us, this is cracking me up. So you go to Bismarck, North. By the way, it's kind of hard to get there, right? What route do you take by air to get there? Do you fly to Nashville, Minneapolis, Bismarck?
Yes, something like that.
Something like that. It's a long trip, isn't it?
It is, but I've been other places that were longer. I go to places where I fly into an airport, someone shows up with a pickup truck and drives me 3 hours to some little town, and there's a lot of people waiting to hear me speak.
Okay, and so how big was your audience here at this event?
Probably 100 or so.
Okay, so you go, you speak at this event, and then there's a Q&A, and so that a protester asks a question, grabs who is this protester?
She stands up.
And she has, you learn she has a PhD later, right?
Yeah, she stands up and she says, "How does it feel
to be a white folk's slave?
This is the question of a PhD person?
Yeah. You have sold your soul to get money. And you're here in North Dakota scaring all of these white people and trying to make them believe that they don't have privilege. How does it feel to be a white folk slave? And then she went on and on. I say, well, if you let me speak, I'll answer your question. I don't want to hear the answer to your question because to my question because I know what you're going to say. And then some of the other people were trying to quiet her down, and I said, no, let her speak. I said, what do you want? Then she started talking about the stolen lands that were stolen from the Native Americans. And I said, what is your solution? She was not interested in a dialogue. And eventually they got the microphone from her. A few other people asked questions. And then another woman stood up and said, that lady was Dr. So-and-so, 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 and she's with public education, and she has a doctorate. And I said, that doesn't impress me. It's like who cares? Some of the stupidest people I know have doctorates.
Absolutely.
A doctorate means nothing. Not even worth the paper it's printed on.
The only thing you can do with a doctorate is you can get into the teachers' union in higher education. Basically, right?
Well, you can do research and teaching at a major university. But at the end of the day, like when you leave academia, your degree isn't worth the paper.
So was this person employed by the State Department of Higher Education?
Not higher education. She was a new hire for the public schools. And I think she really hurt herself because she was so... she spewed hate speech towards me. And the other two ladies were more polite. And then they posted a video clip of the microphone being taken away from the woman by two white women. They put that in there by two white women and said we were fascists and we wouldn't allow this lady to speak. And the name of the organization that invited me was Be Truthful.
This is crazy.
It was.
So I'll tell you the book you should write.
Uh-huh.
Adventures on the Road with Carol Swain.
Well,
and then take all these incidents and put them together.
Well, it doesn't normally happen. This was very rare. I had a wonderful experience. I was on a couple of television shows while I was there. Mm-hmm. I had a great experience. The people who attended wanted to know about CRT, so it was really like
critical
a class.
Critical race theory, yeah.
Yeah, critical race theory. But in the past, I have given a little background information about myself and then gone into my topic.
Mm-hmm.
But this time, I decided to divide it into two parts, and mm-hmm. it worked very well.
So is that an approach you might be taking in the future?
I think so.
I think that's a good idea because your personal story is so interesting and so compelling. It establishes where you're coming from when you talk about the critical race theory issues.
I mean, it did not change my opinion of the good people of North Dakota.
They're very nice people.
I made great friends. I intend to go back.
Yeah.
And I felt sorry for those indoctrinated people because mm-hmm. this woman, I don't know how old she was. Maybe she was in her late 30s or 40s. She was too old to be acting unruly, and she's going to be teaching our children.
Well,
she was in the K-12 system.
Yeah. Well, that is a problem we have because a lot of dysfunctional left wingers with personal problems are trying to solve their personal problems by indoctrinating kids in the K-12 system. That's my view.
She probably was triggered by my life story because nowadays you don't have to work very hard to get a degree. And I think that the fact that I'm not angry, I'm not bitter, I'm not a victim. I mean,
I can testify you are not an angry person. You
but
are not.
She was miserable. I feel sorry for people like her.
Why is it that conservatives, generally speaking, are not angry, and liberals are just they explode with rage at the drop of a pin?
1 minute.
Well, the conservatives that I know that know Jesus and have faith, I think that they are optimistic. We don't live in fear. I never feared that I was going to die from coronavirus. I knew I would die when God has already foreordained for me to die. And I didn't think it was going to be coronavirus. It could be some crazy protester.
But you've got security now, Carol.
Well, it's, you know something. I don't live my life in fear. I live all the days that were foreordained for me to live.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. Well, it is. It's great. We've got a lot more to talk about when we come back here. We're talking with Carol Swain, our good friend, all-star panelist, former professor, now the senior fellow. Is that what you call senior fellow?
Yes.
Senior fellow. For constitutional studies.
Distinguished senior fellow, Michael.
I stand corrected. We are in the presence of the distinguished senior fellow for constitutional studies at the Texas Public Policy Foundation, the great Carol Swain. We'll be back after this.